Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall, and to my right. Jim Cole.
Sorry, say it again. Hey. I went over you talking.
Jim Cole.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
And to my right.
Brett Welty. And to my right.
Andrew McKinley. And to my left.
Still Brett Welty.
And to my right. The Buffalo.
Always the Buffalo.
The Buffalo. I'm Bryce Armstrong, and to my right.
Hello. Already introduced myself.
See, I normally pass it off to someone. I'm thrown off. Dude, why you got to do that to me?
Because you told him not to do anything to throw us off.
I know. It's like his goal.
So how's everyone's week been?
I didn't ask it.
We just agreed not to do that this time. You guys all know how we're doing. We're good.
Do we? Do they?
I think we did last time. We're good.
We did do it last time.
Sure.
Bro, we literally just talked about it.
hey guys, what's good?
How they know?
You good? We good. All right.
I think we're all good, so.
Yeah.
Sure.
You guys want to do some trivia?
Always. I love trivia.
I never, but.
I think half the table's going to love this and half the table's not.
Ooh, we're gonna do, we're I'm going to hate it.
We're going to do some history trivia.
Let's go.
That might be actually fun.
My favorite subject.
All right, we'll start with the...
What kind of history?
There's a bunch. We'll start with some U.S. history. And then we'll move on to the heathen nations.
like France. Yeah.
Your love of France knows no bounds.
We ain't touching France.
Funny thing, I would like to have a French bulldog, but I don't think it's actually French.
That is funny, sir. Tell me about how you hate bicycles and the French.
What I don't like, their giant tower.
You know what's taller in the summer?
Oh.
Makes sense.
I think that was a trivia question we had.
Yes, the heat expands it.
All
right. Now, Bryce, you might get this first one.
I doubt it.
Because you watched Hamilton.
Okay. Right. I do love Hamilton.
All right.
Well,
when was the Declaration of Independence signed?
1776. Six?
Yes.
All right.
The one that's sung the most, yeah.
1776.
All right. Yeah. Who did we buy Alaska from?
Russia.
That's right. Nice.
Not Canada.
Yeah. I can.
I knew that.
We're actually buying Canada from Canada.
Buying? We're taking it.
You know, we're just going to take you, just like Greenland.
Yeah. You know?
They don't seem to like that.
Yeah, they don't.
We don't know.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Canadian.
What are you getting political already for?
It's been a week.
Give it some time.
You said you were good. You not?
I am good.
Should we go get a couch?
Ooh.
Dude, don't tempt me with a good
actually,
time.
Actually, that's
I slept
Brandon's
on my couch.
A little angsty.
Me too. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
Franklin D. Roosevelt enacted a plan during the Great Depression. What was it called?
The New Deal?
Yeah.
New Deal.
Nice.
Good job, nerd.
Nerd.
Oh, history matters.
No, it doesn't. I mean,
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
That is not
the official stance of this podcast.
I just really wanted to trigger Brandon. I'm sorry.
History
I don't
does
that.
Matter.
All right. Who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Washington, Lincoln, I don't know.
Roosevelt.
Obama.
Trump is coming in 2026.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, what'd you say?
Xi Jinping.
Okay, so you said George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. Who is the fourth one?
The other guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Benjamin Franklin.
No.
It was a joke.
that was so funny.
He's not a president.
I know.
His anger for you was so strong.
No.
I've seen this thing 1,000 times.
The one's
always tough is Teddy Roosevelt. He was on there because like he basically enacted the state national park law or whatever.
Sing it again.
That was a Hamilton thing, yeah.
Alexander Hamilton.
Was not a president.
No, not Alexander Hamilton. People are screaming into their
cars. Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, there it is. Oh. I was going to say, people are screaming in their cars right now. Like, are you kidding me?
You stupid idiots.
You got Teddy Roosevelt.
It's because of my screen time. I spend too much time on TikTok.
No, hey, don't judge me.
No, I don't.
All right.
I don't.
The Lakota Sioux and Cheyenne warriors who led the fight against Colonel George Custer at Little Bighorn.
What? Good for them.
Who were they?
What?
The two warriors that led the Lakota Sioux and the Cheyenne.
Oh, they have names?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
That was the remake.
Oh.
It's Kevin Costner, you idiot.
You.
It was called Dances with Wolves.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Last of the Mohicans.
That's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Squanto?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Pocahontas.
I can't. Folks, I'm going to say ouch a bunch because I can't turn to look at Brett. And I keep turning to look at Brett because I hurt my neck by daring to sneeze as a 40-year-old, almost 40-year-old. Baby.
I don't know much about Native American
that
history.
Bugs me. I feel like when you say him, we'll know him. Little Bighorn? Yeah. No,
that's the place. That's what happened. That's the battle.
Chief.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. What do you got?
Crazy Horse?
Oh.
Sitting Bull.
Oh,
yeah.
You'd be like, the only two
like
Indian
only
chiefs
two
I
know. Exactly.
Dang.
Other than War
Why
Eagle.
Why didn't I just say them?
The only other one I know
John,
is War Eagle.
I know
Eagle.
A
War
Eagle
because he was here. We got a statue of War Eagle here.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I had a guy talk to me in front of a bar. His name was John Little Bear.
I remember you talking about him.
I remember this.
Yeah. There's several little bears in this area.
Yeah.
But no actual little bears.
Yeah, it's true. We don't live in Alaska. Oh.
No, this is the great state of Iowa.
Oh, wait, is a badger a bear?
No.
I don't know.
It's a weasel. No.
Is a raccoon a panda?
A rodent, but like the most baddest rodent ever. Like,
is a raccoon? Yeah. Is a raccoon a bear? Panda?
A raccoon.
It's a trash panda.
Yeah.
A raccoon is delightful. So.
Some people have pets.
They wash their hands before they
raccoon
eat.
Pets. Yep. It's just
and then they wash their food. Pet.
Yeah,
before
they have them on leashes. I just watched a whole compilation of people that have pets with of raccoons. It was
that was the week before they got rid of them.
Yeah,
before they went mad.
I would love to have a pet river otter, and I feel like everyone forgets that they're like full on predators and they would straight up kill you if they were hungry. Like,
they are.
They're pretty.
I'm kind of hungry.
They're like cute but vicious, just like Bryce.
Aw.
We're gonna move on to world.
I might need to give me a McDouble.
How many more should we do? Like five more? Call it good?
Bro, we're only 8 minutes in. We're good.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're doing really great today.
Who paid the bills for Christopher Columbus to explore the New World?
Donald Spain. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Elon Musk.
Who in Spain?
The king.
Yeah, that's true.
The king.
Yeah.
You got some names? Or?
Louis?
King Louis. Martin Luther.
King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain. Yeah.
Ferdinand. That's
Ferdinand.
A bull.
Ferdinand. Yes, he is.
It's a bull.
That's who he's named after.
Oh, yeah. What a movie.
Let's see. What is considered to be the largest empire in history?
The British Empire.
No.
What? It's the British Empire.
It's not.
Roman?
No. Both good guesses.
Oh, Chinese. United States of America.
No.
You're close.
Oh.
Would it be the French under Napoleon?
It's the Chinese Empire?
You're getting closer.
Is it the
Huns?
Ming? Ming?
Nope.
Was it the Huns?
Hun?
Attila the Hun?
So close.
Ottoman?
The Mongols.
Oh, yeah.
I forget about them.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Everybody knows the Mongols are the bad guys in Mulan.
Mongolia.
Actually, you're welcome.
They're actually not. I don't even want to nerd out on Mulan on you right now.
I was messing with you. I didn't know you were such a purist, though.
There were some armies that were coming up against Attila the Hun, and they were walking up. And they're like, man, these mountains are so big. And turned out to be just a pile of bodies stacked up to intimidate them. And I think they did.
I think it'd work. It would work on me.
I'd be like,
It would work on me for sure.
Yep.
What year did the French Revolution start?
After the American one.
It's the 1800s.
All I know is I want Hamilton. And what's the other one? Les Mis. I want a mashup. Ooh, that's all I know.
That'd be weird.
Shut up.
That's like, not even the revolution that's in
there. That'd be like 6 hours.
That's just a little student revolt in the middle of a city. Yeah, that's not like the big French Revolution.
That wasn't the French Revolution?
No, it wasn't. It was just...
Whatever. Like, I still
it was one of the little chaotic things that eventually...
led to the French Revolution.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
Yeah.
Well.
But 1789. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, so right after...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because Lafayette was like, you know what? We're going to do this too.
Thank you, Lafayette.
revolution.
Because of Hamilton, I always want to say Lafayette. Like, I don't want to just say it. I got to yell
it. You got to scream it.
No. All right. What is the event that's commonly believed to have been the start of World War One?
What's his name got shot? I can't remember his name.
There's a band.
Leader of Germany.
There's a band named after him.
The Beatles.
Yep. There is it. McCartney. I can't remember his name, but he was
Tsar.
He's the Tsar, right?
Ferdinand.
Nope. There's a Ferdinand in there, yes. It's
Ferdinand.
Can't remember his name.
Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria.
I said Ferdinand.
Isn't that a purse company?
Maybe.
It is now.
I think you're thinking Gucci.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I think you're actually thinking of Cole.
Oh. Kohl's. That bargains shopping.
I couldn't think.
You're thinking of Marshalls?
Brights is the baddest queen in the Gordmans. That's all I'm going to say.
We don't even have a Gordmans anymore.
What under the age of 37 knows what a Gordman is?
Didn't they go bankrupt?
I think so.
I like that that's the part you're focused on, not that you were the baddest queen in all
It's okay. I'll own it, even though it's not true.
This one, I don't even know how you verify this, but how many Celtic languages are still spoken today?
Five.
You are so close.
Oh.
Four.
Six.
Seven.
We're bargaining.
Let's go higher.
Meet me halfway. Come on.
5.5.
There's a rule that, like, when they're like, who's technically considered a Celt? And the answer is, like, anyone who thinks they're a Celt.
It's like, so me?
Yeah, basically.
Can I be a Celt?
I don't
want to
be.
Pretty inclusive group.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So, like, that includes, like, the Germanic tribes and all these people that, like, that Rome just smashed and got rid of. All kinds of stuff. Like, these guys weren't
even... I just
want
anyone listening to know, he's not reading from notes. He's just either snowballing us or just knew it.
That I learned from... Because Dan Carlin makes history really fun to listen to and learn.
That's why I call him Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Because of Dan Carlin.
Dan Carlin says Genghis.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Who
is that?
Dan Carlin.
He's a
Hardcore History.
Hardcore History is the name of the
original four.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Because he was like...
I do know that.
Like, he does long-form journalism as, like, a hobby, which is a crazy thing to say.
And this is where I
want
my nerd button.
Nerd. Like, I can learn history from him because he makes it an interesting story where my ADD brain will just, like, eat it up.
That's good.
I love it.
Got it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't put out very many episodes.
That's why I know that.
Not very frequently.
When Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, it was, like, the second try. During that day.
Yep.
Because they tried to kill him during the parade. Someone threw a grenade and his like bodyguard swatted it out of the air. He's like, no. So they were all like, oh, we failed. So they were running from the cops and this one guy successfully escaped and he's like, I'm going to go get a sandwich. So he's in this little cafe eating a sandwich and the Archduke's car had to detour because of something. And it breaks down in front of the sandwich shop, and this guy's leaving for the day. And he comes out, sees the Archduke, and they're trying to fix the car. And he's like, I have my gun. That's where he gets shot, not during the parade, but afterwards. He's like, they're not going to believe this. So, yeah, it was like the second try, and it was just
a coincidence.
Obviously, that was meant to be. I learned that because Dan Carlin makes that interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan Carlin.
Okay.
That story wouldn't have been nowhere near interesting without Dan Carlin.
Not to me, it wouldn't have been. That's what I'm saying. Like, and his voice. I like his voice. If I could pay him money to read a bedtime story and just record it, I'd be like, I'll listen to that every night. Okay. How
good
old?
Good night, construction night site never sounded so good.
Can you please read this copy of Blippi's I Can Drive an Excavator for my daughter? She loves that book. Don't know why. Can we cut out the mention of Blippi?
Nope. That's
dang. Okay.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. All right. How old was Queen Elizabeth II when she became the Queen of England?
19.
Close. Little older.
She was older?
21 or 22.
She's 21,
25.
Right? 25.
Yeah.
What?
You're fools for not knowing this, obviously. Yeah.
I watched that show.
The Queen?
Is that what it's called?
Or The Crown. Which the one? Crown. Those are two different shows. But
The Crown. Before they switched actresses.
I really don't care.
Because they fast-forwarded time.
Yes.
About the monarchy that much, so.
I don't believe you. I feel like you do way more than you like.
I don't care about the monarchy. There's a reason we left.
All right. I got one. I got one more for you guys.
We don't have any listeners in Britain, do we?
We do. We do, actually.
No. Sorry. I'm American.
Just don't forget. To the bone. Don't forget Britain. We won.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to throw a little layup for Brett here for the last question.
Oh, great.
Who was the first ruler of the Mongol Empire?
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Good job, Brett.
That was good. Are we at the 15-minute mark?
We're at 16.
Wow.
Oh, hey.
We kept it dialed tonight.
Dialed in.
All you have to do is look at me and be like, hey, do an actual good job this time. And I will.
You do a good job every time.
I'll try.
I didn't say you did a bad job.
You do
just
a great
all very
do a good
ADHD.
Job at taking less time.
We're all just very ADHD. It's fine.
I think you do a great job.
And Jim is patient.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we are on our second to last episode of the Seven Deadly Sins. We are at Wrath.
That was your transition.
Angry.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a transition.
Yeah, that's all I got. I don't have much.
Simple, clear, concise.
Simple, clear. We're on Wrath. Wrath.
You know how Red Hulk was supposed to have a mustache?
Yeah, stop it.
I know we should have.
Stop it.
Hulk mustache.
That Harrison Ford was ticked off. He was definitely.
He was full of wrath.
He was full of wrath.
He was.
But yeah, we're talking about wrath today. And our opening scripture is Proverbs 29:11, which says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person holds it in check. So wrath is more than just anger. It's a consuming fire that seeks destruction rather than reconciliation. The difference between righteous anger, which defends truth and justice, as seen by Jesus cleansing the temple in Mark 11:15-17, a sinful wrath, which desires revenge and harm and control. So wrath, when unchecked, damages our relationships with one another, our witness to the world, and our communion with God. Thoughts before we start jumping into 3 points?
Seems like a lot to do with control. In my near past, I was really struggling with some stuff,
mm-hmm.
and there's definitely wrath. But it wasn't relationship related,
mm-hmm.
right? It was more about just a situation that came up that I had to deal with, and I was angry.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it came out sideways.
Yeah. I kind of felt that when I moved into my new house. I had a lot of rage and wrath with some of the things that I had to walk into. And I was full of wrath. I look back at that, and I'm pretty grossed out about it. And it just shows what is deep down inside of us. It's not really that deep. It's just right on the cusp of being unhinged. And when I think of wrath, I mostly think of it towards somebody else. I don't think of it. It's hard for me to see it internalized. I more see like, this person did this to me. I'm going to repay them evil with evil kind of.
Yeah. People are always involved. It wasn't like people weren't involved. It's just people I don't have a relationship with. And
yeah. Never seems to be, always seems to be pointed at somebody else. You can see that. See that with like waging wars and all that.
It's what's interesting, and I think this might have been a God thing for my benefit, is to somebody close to me. I watch them go through the same thing.
Mm.
I'm like, wow, I could see that in me, and
happening at the same time,
just like bang bang.
Okay,
right, yep. And realizing I don't want that in me.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I've always thought about with
definitely selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right, you're wrong. Or you feel you're justified in your anger.
Yes.
I don't even think there's like a almost a laziness to it, in that you don't put in the work to keep yourself in check. Mm-hmm. That it's because I think that like a lot of things, the laziness of thought, the laziness of not trying to learn or be better internally, this is a big indicator of that, I think. I had a separate thought that I'm forgetting all of a sudden. Oh, no. So you guys are talking about how it's like usually aimed at a person. I think it can also be just full on letting loose on inanimate objects.
Sure.
Is a different kind of wrath. The most like prevalent example in my life, in my entire life right now is my 2-year-old who gets frustrated with toys very easily. She's not like one of those technical minded ones. Like my 1-year-old can sit there and figure out a puzzle and stuff like that. She loves that. My 2-year-old gets frustrated if it doesn't work right the first time. Mm. And so she throws a lot of toys. She smashes a lot of stuff on the ground because it didn't do what it's supposed to do. I mean, that's wrath. It's a almost cute example. It's a little example, but it's definitely that seed of sin that is there from the start.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, you see it in older people too. Someone that just like, you know, they've had it with their lawnmower and they just take a sledgehammer to it or something like that. You know, it's just, it's not working anymore. There's a whole undercurrent of like YouTube videos of people just destroying stuff because they got so mad at it not working or something like that.
Well, or parents smashing PlayStations or Xboxes because they're angry
at
their children.
That's still aimed at a person because you're punishing them by damaging their stuff.
Yeah, but they're adults still.
Yeah. But like, this is like, if you do it to your own stuff, it's still wrath. It's just like,
oh yeah,
kind of self-inflicting wrath.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I had to dive into that a little bit more too. Like self-inflicting wrath.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
That's a whole thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'd be, I don't think it's anything that we have prepared for tonight in the notes, but like,
that's a really good,
I wonder if like that's
a really good thought.
Like self-harm. I know sometimes that's more of a cry for help and a like need to feel at all, but I think for some people they're so disgusted with themselves that they think all they can do is punish.
Yeah.
That's wrath.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what can that be, that like talking down of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Like self-deprecation or not taking care of yourself at all.
Mm-hmm.
Could be in like a form of that, like, well, I don't deserve this. Like, I'm so upset with myself that I'm just not going to take care of myself, kind of thing. So I don't know if that's like an element to it of showing rage or like something against ourselves.
Yeah, would you say rage and wrath are the same thing?
I think they're in the same umbrella.
Yeah,
I think they manifest in different ways, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, wrath can be more conniving and manipulative. Rage is more like it's just blind and anger coming out.
Like I've always thought of them as different stages. Like wrath is the energy source and rage is maybe. So I think like wrath is the primer and the powder, and then rage is the bullet kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I think that.
Interesting. I would put them the other way. I see wrath as the act of taking out your rage and anger on someone or something.
Okay.
So to me, wrath is the action. Right. That's how I would say it. So it comes out of rage.
Rage is the feeling?
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes out of ultimately a lack of self-control and pride and the inability to not see yourself as the center of the universe. These things aren't working out the way they should. They're not working out for me. Or this person isn't treating me the way I want or whatever. And then that boils up and I get angry and then I have rage and then I have no self-control.
Yeah.
So then I give full vent to my spirit, as we read in Proverbs 29. And then wrath is, I would argue, the taking out of those angry feelings on somebody. Again, like you said in your definition, like it's destruction and not reconciliation. It's unhelpful, uncharitable, unprofitable, unreconciling anger.
It is scratching an itch. It's a temporary relief for something.
The eczema that is your anger.
Yeah, for something powerful and awful in you.
Yes, itchy.
But it's temporary at best.
Yeah. I would agree with all that.
Yeah. Mm. Point number one we got is the nature of wrath. So wrath is a distortion of righteous anger, turning passion into a tool for self-righteousness and destruction. James 1:20 warns us that for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. A biblical example would be like Cain and Abel. So Cain's uncontrolled anger leads to murder because he refuses correction from God. And so wrath often stems from pride, and jealousy and resentment. And so John Calvin warned us that for God's sake, if it be possible to avoid it, let us not provoke one another to wrath. Let us not kindle each other this fire of hell, much less blow it up into a flame. So I think it's easier to see anger and wrath as a flame being kindled. Like, just certain things start to move us and start to agitate us more and more and more. And if we're not keeping it checked, if we're not bringing it to God any chance, any time we get, it seems to spew out of us, either our mouths, our hands. I mean, I can give an example of my two boys. You know, like, Gideon does something to Elijah. Elijah gets angry, and instead of, like, talking it out, it's yelling it out, and then a shoe flies and hits in the side of the face. So it's like, if we're not keeping it checked, if we're not learning how to let it go, I think that's what we end up being. And you see a lot of adults that just don't have control over their emotions either, and it leads to really bad things.
Yeah,
it can lead to, like, physical harm to other adults, which has more consequences than it does, say, with kids. But when that's unchecked, that's just all you know. You don't know.
Where do you see people that aren't Christians de-escalating a situation?
Never.
I mean, how often do you see that?
Not often.
Rare.
Yeah, how often do you see, well, this guy did this to me, so I'm going to do that to him, and then he does this, and then I'm always going to one-up him and better him until mm-hmm. he sees me as...
Seems to tie into envy, too.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's just non-Christians.
No, I think that's true, but I mean, we at least, in theory, should know better.
We should.
Yeah.
But
we're taught that it's okay to be, like, upset with somebody. Mm-hmm. And
Or get them back.
You know, yeah.
If they start they it, to you feel finish it. It
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if this is in your notes later, but Ephesians 6:4, fathers should not provoke your children to anger.
I don't know if I had that, but that's a good one, though.
But bring them up and just discipline and instruction of the Lord. I mean, this is something that I definitely struggle with because I love pushing buttons in my kids because at first it's funny, and then eventually I go too far. This is something I've massively worked in, especially over the last year, because I really hurt my middle son. Pretty bad. So my wife had to call me out pretty hardcore, and she's like, hey, Bible's pretty clear on this one. Like, you're not supposed to do this. So, like, I have massively dialed it back on pushing buttons, because yeah, it's funny for 5 seconds, but then I'm provoking my children to anger, and then that is me causing them to sin, and I'm not actually bringing them up the way that the Lord has called me to bring them up. And so,
sure.
And then I don't want them then justifying their anger and doing the same bullcrap that I've done my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's just a vicious cycle. Like, and I want to break that cycle of anger. Cause I've got tattooed on my arm. be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Because I've had a massive anger issue my entire life. And just stems from my father, stems from my grandfather. And
where is it at on your arm? Is it easy to see?
Yep.
Okay.
Generational. Good.
Real easy to see.
Well, the opening statement on this point one, wrath is a distortion of righteous anger. And I think we're getting to that place of wrath. We and I think Bryce said it, we justify, you know, so I'm in the right here. So I'm going to let this rip.
Yep.
And I think it's definitely a distortion, because when we start talking about righteous anger, we really are bringing in God into this. We're bringing Christ into this. And if it's righteous, then it has to glorify them. Mm-hmm. But if it's just about me, it's not righteous.
Yeah.
There's no justification.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the verse, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I mean, that's a really good benchmark for, I mean, that the totality of that sentence is, if it is man's anger, it will not accomplish. It will not accomplish. So that's not even like, well, maybe 50% of the time it might work, or it could. It's
doesn't.
And then the other thing I'm thinking of, There's no verse that I could think of where the phrase man and wrath is ever a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's just no verse that says, I mean, the verse that I thought of that we don't have in our notes is Romans 12, which I think is the clearest one. And it really basically says the opposite. It says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves,
yep,
but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil,
yep,
with good.
You know, in the situation I talked about in the beginning, it cost me a lot financially. So I was upset. Mm. And the reality was, which is hard even now, the recognition that, hey, this expense, I need to swallow it. Mm. I just need to, I'm not going to be able to recoup it. The only thing I'm going to do is hurt somebody. So I just need to accept the fact that I got this expense. It cost me.
Yeah.
I think looking back at the moment, I'm seeing how all these categories of sin are interlocking with one another, because greed can provoke us to wrath, which wrath can stem from envy, and pride's the centrifuge of the whole thing.
Yep.
And so, in a worldly sense, we justify ourselves in each category of like, well, I can do this. Like, I have the right to do this. But I'm like, well, if you're dead to yourself and you're living a life for Christ, is it actually your right to do any of that? No. Your life isn't your own. You live under a new title. You live under a new yoke. So even with wrath, if someone provokes you, it says to walk, like, we should walk away. We shouldn't interact. We should, like, people should know us by, like, we should be people of peace, not people of, like, flying off the handle, right?
The hard part is accepting the damage or the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And letting it go.
Well, that's
called forgiveness.
Yeah, and it's like it's a gut check to your ego and to your pride.
Yes.
Right? And so it's like, if I have to let this thing go that someone else did of me, then it's like, that means I have no skin in the game at this point.
And I would say we want to remember Romans 12.
Mm-hmm.
We're not letting it go. We're giving it to a better judge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ultimately, we're not letting it go.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, so in your scenario, Jim, with this person, if what they did was sinful and wrong, even if they don't catch any judgment on this side of eternity, you have to answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christians, we should be able to say, I can leave this to God. He can handle it better than I can. He will make all accounts right, and I guarantee you I'm going to turn out for the better. You're going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's probably going to forgive him.
Oh, okay, Jonah, chill out. What if he does? You know? And you know what? And that's a good point. I mean, just think about, you know, someone murders somebody and they get saved on death row, right? And that, and a lot of times people have a hard time with that kind of, that God would forgive that. And
yeah.
And that's a good point too, you know, but what I am believing, and I think we all should believe, is that when the final day comes, when we are absent from the body and presence with the Lord, we're going to look at everything and say, God, you did no wrong by me.
Mm.
You did no wrong by me. You did right by me in every way. Mm. And when all accounts are settled, I'm going to see your goodness, your mercy, your justice. I'm going to see all your attributes in the full. And I'm going to say, you know what? I didn't get shortchanged. I didn't get gypped. I see now what I look through a mirror dimly and I see clearly now what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And wrath is the hardest because we don't want to wait.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to be the guy that gets stuck holding the bag. I don't want to be the doormat in everybody's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the guy that's known for, oh, you know, take it to Brett because he ain't going to do anything about it. But the question is, do we believe what the Bible says, or do we just want to believe the easy parts and then fight fire with fire whenever we need to?
Mm-hmm. I think before we started recording, we were kind of like vamping up on the Old Testament a bit and just how wild and crazy it was. And all, I mean, you see people like Jonah or Daniel or any of them kind of say, God, why? But you never really, it just seems like they just really, they trust in God a lot more than us first world Westerners, right? When it comes to people doing wrong against us, right?
Is it, well, I mean, if you let the Holy Spirit write my story, like, I would hopefully just put the high points into
yeah.
some of the bad ones, so you knew I'm not the Messiah, but like, I wasn't terrible.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
But you know,
yeah, that's true.
Those are good points, though. I mean, trusting God in this moment right now, I don't need to try to fix it.
Mm-hmm. It'll be made right.
The other thing I would say, to the point that we were making earlier about, and I forget how it was said, but the way I try to describe it, you guys tell me this sounds dumb, but I tell people, like, the Christian life is like math. You have to show your work. So how you get to the answer is just as important as getting to the answer. So if I don't take my own wrath, but it's because I physically couldn't, or I didn't have the power to, or there's something hindering me from doing it, that's just as bad as taking your own wrath.
That's that idea about, like, it's better to be a dangerous person with control than to be a weak person who's out of control kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's more noble to be able to, I want to say, keep yourself yoked, I think. Just the not let it fly, you know. Yeah. That's real strength, I think.
It really is. That's the self-control that we'll talk about in a year, whenever we get to self-control and the fruits of the Spirit. But but that should be something that marks us. Like, can we truly be... this is like... So I had an epiphany last week. I was like, you know, do I like theology or do I like living the Christian life? Because I do like to be right, and I do like to believe what the Bible believes, but, like, do I live it? Do I live it through and through in all of my dealings? And, you know, no. And it's like...
But who does, too?
True, yeah. True. So, like, I'm no worse. I was hoping to be better, and there's a little kick to the old pride. I'm not. But the point is I think these are the ways, this is the crucible that our faith is truly developed, and our sanctification is grown, because we're all going to have this week, next week, we're going to have some situation that is going to require us to die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thinking about Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Do to others as you wish they would do to you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, don't do what you hate. Do to them what you would actually want. It's the affirmative. It's the positive. Mm-hmm. So don't just look at that and say, well, I won't give you all wrath. That would be the negative of the golden rules. I just won't give you what you deserve. Instead, give them what they don't deserve, which is the right shake, fair shake. What you would want if you were on the other end of the equation.
You know what I want?
Right.
I want some grace.
Oh, yeah. And compassion, right. And mercy.
Forgiveness,
yeah.
That's what I want. And I want you to look at me and say, my motives, if you were sitting here, your motives would be just like mine, and you want to be seen as, like,
validate,
you're just doing the
me.
Best you can. And I want you to see me as doing the best that I could. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hard part of wrath, because, like, it's just so much easier to be like, let's just torch the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just torch him.
Yeah.
Yep.
But again, there's just no text for that. I would even argue there's no text for being a jerk.
No, not
I mean, I think about speaking the truth in love, which is Ephesians 4:15. I think about 2 Timothy 2 that says, correcting an opponent even in gentleness so that the Lord might grant repentance. So even if we're correcting someone, we correct them in gentleness. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that the Lord might grant them repentance, meaning God didn't beat you over the head with a stick to bring you into the kingdom, so you're not going to be able to get anyone into the kingdom by beating them over the head with a stick with truth. We have the greatest truths in the world, and so often we ruin them by bringing out the 9-iron when we should be walking with them in compassion.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Anyway.
No,
absolutely.
I think
it's great.
It's from the Big Lebowski. It's like, well, you're right, but you're being an a-hole about it. Something like that. It's like...
That matters. I believe that matters.
It really does. Like,
having the truth and presenting it in an unloving way, again, it's like, it's the math equation. You're not showing your work.
Yeah,
you might give them the gospel, but is that really showing your work?
I'll be not devil's advocate, but I'll try to get some understanding into that, like bringing the golf, like the golf club kind of thing. I think people read how Jesus reacted to Pharisees as how they would react to Pharisees. Mm. And so...
Too often you're being one when you're... Mm-hmm. Anyway,
no, no.
I stole all your thunder right there.
No,
sorry, you're right.
No, but I was more saying, like, if Jesus had a more upfront, like, righteous anger, it was perfect righteous anger. Mm-hmm. He had no human, like, no human inkling draining into him.
He's the Lord.
Yeah. So we can't even use that as a justification for our righteous anger.
Jesus flipped tables. Okay, if you can flip tables without sin...
Good luck.
You ain't gonna.
Yeah,
never will.
That's my favorite argument when people are like, "Well, I have a righteous anger." Do you?
No.
Look, I'm angry all the time.
A personal aggression in there. Like.
I've been angry, and I know I was sinning, even though I was trying to justify it. You can't lie to me. Like,
you can be right and still sin.
I mean,
then what's the point of being like? What's the point then? Because you're just prideful.
Here's my question. Is the Christian life all about being the rightest?
No.
No.
It really is.
It's about being
Why
last.
Why is that so
easy? It's about being last.
It's about realizing how wrong we've been and are. It's about just being more aware of it.
What you're saying is a balm to my soul. Thank you, gentlemen.
It's about it's having the door open for all people to be given the same thing that you've been given. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people want a bunch of
arrogant. I don't like them, though.
But you're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they're going to be around.
I was going to say, then heaven's going to be a very long time.
That's the part. That's like, I don't click with those people. Well, who cares?
Yeah,
you're going to have to learn how to do it because Jesus opened the door for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a little youth pastor sermon. The Lord clicked with these guys.
Yeah, but they need to know their sin.
Which is not untrue.
It's not untrue. No. But it's not the only thing.
Right. I want to have a conversation. And when I come with my guns already drawn, there's no conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just pull the trigger and it's over. But I let them know, so now it's on them.
If someone comes with a gun and says, "Let's talk," you're like, "Oh, like, I'm going to die."
I guess
so. So a little different spin on this. How do you do? I mean, I know the answer, but let's talk about it. With your spouse, you know you're right. You know what they're doing is sinful. I know what I do, and it's not good. And Becca and I both are very strong-headed, so we love going.
Would you slow down?
Head
that,
to head, head to head. And so, oh man, we're both very bad. I love you, Becca. I'm sorry. I'm airing all our dirty laundry out for all the world to hear. But we're both very bad at. At not being prideful and being saying that the other one has done wrong.
Aren't we all?
And
I'm gonna keep my stones in the New Testament for now.
I am often reminded, usually by Becca, which doesn't help in the middle of it all, but that something our pastor says and that it is really on me as the husband biblically to lead that conversation better than I am. But eventually it comes to that point. How do you deal with your spouse when wrath is involved? When you feel that wrath and you feel like you're right and that pride takes over. I know the right answer, but let's talk about, like, I mean, you don't have to give your personal examples, you air it out like I just did, but let's get in some practical application.
I'd say some active listening.
That's a good one.
Become an active listener and
so there's two kinds of active listening. There's like, I'm going to do this to make you think that I'm listening. And then there's
listening. It needs to become like, you need to hear what's going on.
Yeah. Process the data in real time out loud to them while they're saying it. Like,
And I would also say it's give and take especially when it comes to a marriage.
Like, your wife gives it, you take it.
Yep. I get the
like, take it easy, but take
I get
it.
Husbands set yeah I get husbands set the mood, but I think it's also like we're two people, two different individuals living with one another, and we're gonna have to learn how to live with one another, right? And so we just listen, we give and take. I don't know, that's just the thing I think of when it comes to like dealing with marriage. Like, yeah, we're two people that are sometimes we're on the same like wavelength. There could be other times we're a little off, but God, and it's also an image of like how Jesus sees the church and all that. And so like, if we remind ourselves of how how Jesus treats us. I think it makes marriage a little easier. I'm not saying it's just a walk in the park, but I mean, like, okay, we have to figure this out. Like, we're gonna have to talk to each other. We're gonna have to be like, okay, yeah, I did do something wrong, and kind of like live in humility a little bit more. At least I think that's with any relationship, right? I don't think it's just marriage.
It's just bigger in marriage.
It's bigger, yes.
Because you're two sinful people living together.
Yeah.
And the easiest person to hurt is the person that you're next to every single day. Mm-hmm.
The closer the person is that's throwing the rocks, the more it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Yep.
You know, I don't know if there's a really good, solid answer because you are two different people.
Yeah.
And everybody around this table is different.
Yep.
And so how do you enter into that and give them what you want,
mm-hmm.
which is grace.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that play out in their life?
A couple of times, if like there's something that I notice that Brittany's struggling with, and it's very rare because I don't notice a lot. I'm very ADD, but and she's pretty awesome. But if there is something that I need to bring up, it usually starts with an "I love you." And then it goes into a, hey, remember that thing where we're both sinners and we just have to try and help each other be better because we're a team?
Mm.
And then, yep. You know, coming at it that way seems to help. At least for us, it works that way. I don't know if that'll work for everybody. Some people might hear that as passive aggressive. I think for us, it just sounds gentle.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's a big part of it is approach it gentle.
Yes.
If you're angry about it, maybe cool off first is a big thing. It's like if you're coming in hot, you're not going to handle it well anyway. Mm-hmm. But so if your goal is correcting your spouse as a brother or sister in Christ, then you need to first be level-headed.
Because
if you're just coming in reacting, you're not correcting them. You're just raging. And now you're wrathful too.
Yeah. Even that term correcting throws a red flag for me.
Mm. Sure.
To bring something up is different than correcting.
Yeah.
Because if I'm correcting, then I'm the authority. You know, I'm the boss. You need to listen to me. But I think we need to be aware of the tapes in our head. Because if we got the time to cool down, but we still have the tapes running in our head. I think we need to ask ourselves the question, what's the real goal here?
Yeah.
So that when we go into the conversation, we know where we want. What the real goal is. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a selfish perspective.
I always want to think of like why, like there's certain points in our lives that can make us react in a certain way, even like from a day-to-day basis. And so sometimes thinking of that too, like bringing that into perspective and saying, okay, maybe an action that I did might have brought a thought or a past thing that I did before, like I did once before, and that brought the emotion up. So it's just being considerate of like, there's a lot of things playing into our reactions in general. Maybe that sounds a little psychology.
We're in danger of sounding woke when we talk about triggers, but that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And that's, yes, I think that where it's okay. And I think this is where triggers came from and where this is a good thing is that, if it's a particular behavior or even a sentence or a phrase that the last time they heard this out of you, it was a big fight afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hearing it is going to put them on the defensive.
Yeah.
That's a trigger.
Triggers. I mean, you could say triggers. I mean, there's trauma causes things to happen in the brain. I mean,
yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that I think that Christian.
I mean, for anyone that's going to try to argue that triggers is a woke word.
I think that's the thing.
Just a word.
Christians especially are going to hear the word trigger and be like, oh, no, they're woke stuff. I'm not going after things like.
So what you're saying is triggers them.
Yeah, basically. Yes, absolutely.
That's a good one. Yes.
Triggers is my trigger word.
I mean, we're like embodied people, right? And so, like, things, like...
I think so.
Yeah.
This is the
so we're not just a shell or a meat bag holding our soul. Like, we're Like this body.
I mean, we are that.
We are that
also.
But this body, when we're resurrected and brought back into the kingdom, this is the body we have. We're not getting some, like, it's just going to be made perfect. But this is the body we have, right? And so when we're living before the new reign and before the new kingdom that comes, when you, if you read Revelation, like, we're going to have spot, like, our bodies mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually are going to take a beating, right? And, like, we have to consider that with all the people around us. Like, we have to consider that with our spouses. We have to look at our children. We got to look at our friends. We look at our coworkers and even like strangers, like the reactions, if they like they shoot out the mouth at you, like there's something there. Like that's not like it's a trained thing. Our bodies remember how we reacted to this person if they said this way, this thing in a certain way to us. And so we have to combat that by giving, like we said, like doing the action of giving it to God. And say, God, change my reaction to this certain thing. And that's a hard thing. It's a discipline, right?
Because the thing that's not trained, the thing that is part of our hardwiring is pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That is how our brains are built to learn the world,
mm-hmm.
is to recognize trends,
mm-hmm.
to see cause and effect, things like that. And so trauma and triggers and things like that are our natural learning ability being used in a social way in this case. And so, yeah, it is loving the people you're ministering to try and not, you know, I guess, you know, when you're reaching them, not putting them on the defensive right away or not setting them up for a fight.
Yeah.
By recognizing that stuff.
Because really, in all these kind of things, it's a conversation we want to have with people. It's not a battle we want to have with people, because that doesn't get us anywhere.
So I haven't answered the question yet. I'll answer the question, which is, how do you deal with your spouse? And I would say this is how I personally relate to not just my spouse but to everyone. I very, very rarely correct. Very rarely, almost never. Because I believe that it is the Holy Spirit who affects change.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, unless the Holy Spirit moves, there will be no change. So step one for me is like, okay, how big of a deal is this really? Yeah. I mean, how big of a deal? I mean, is this like, is what my wife or friend doing going to send them to hell? Is it, or is this just an inconvenience for me? Is it just, were they having a bad day? Was their meat bag tired, and so it made their soul angry? Is that what we're dealing with here?
Yeah.
I mean, instead of we're just a meat bag. I mean, the meat bag.
So quote for the main page right there.
I said we're not just meat bags.
Exactly, but you know, but to
but
your
we
point,
are also meat bags.
To your point, we are not. Are they tired? Are they sleepy? You know, is the checking account light?
Or were they hungry?
Is your sump pump out? Is it? I mean, what you know? Yes. What is it?
It's a little too real right now.
And so for me, step one is, okay, can I let it go? Can I just let it go? Do I care? Because I don't need to be right in my marriage. I don't need to be right with my friends. I really don't. I'm probably not right even when I think I am anyway. And so for me, step one is, okay, it's really, really got to be a problem for me to say anything, period. Because I believe I would rather pray and allow the Holy Spirit. And then step one for me is always to model.
Yeah.
Model it. If you can walk away from a fight and say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, and just be done with it, that's powerful. Like,
oh, yeah.
People think you're the weakling when you apologize. You're not. Like you're. It's powerful to just say, this doesn't have to be a deal breaker for me. And this would be the where I'm only talking about like the rare occasions when the sin is not on my side. Typically, it's on my side. But if I'm dealing with my wife or a friend or whatever that where it could potentially be a sin, is it's like, I don't know, people are going to grow, mm-hmm. and the Spirit's going to grow them, and so that's my default move, and that's leaving room for the Spirit and just letting it slide and just saying, you know what, again, the golden rule, if I was in their situation and I had all of those external forces pushing on me, how would I react? Mm-hmm. better, worse, the same? What would I want if it was me? Well, I would want a lot of slack. I'd want to say, you know what, honey? I was tired. I was hungry. I was whatever. No big deal. No big deal. And I've found, I don't know if it's just because the way I'm naturally hardwired or whatever, but that works for us as a married couple, is like if something comes up and it's hot, just it'll be okay. Yeah. And everything you guys already said was great. So I was, maybe one other thing to say is, like, there are far, far, far fewer hills to die on, especially in a marriage, than you think there are. Just aren't. It's not worth it. It typically just isn't. What are we fighting over? Mm-hmm. What's the real issue? Is the real issue that we're tired, or that, like, hey, this month has 31 days in it, and so it's going to get tired? What is the actual issue? It's probably not what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Typically. Just know that. And just, life is long, sanctification is slow, and boy, oh boy, isn't it good that God gives us grace? And if we've been given grace, if we're unable to give it to others, if we've received forgiveness and mercy and grace in abundance for every sin, for all time, for all the ugliness, for all the terrible things that we say and do in our hearts and our minds towards people, towards God, man, I think I can probably just, like, take this one.
Mm-hmm.
I can take this one.
I heard it said once that marriage is like two rocks in a rock tumbler. Like, we wear the rough edges off of one another. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe a lot of times the question is, what do I need to learn here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even if I'm dead right, I have something to learn here.
Yeah.
So what is it?
I think while you guys were talking, like, I just
fell asleep.
No. No.
That's my move.
That is
100% Andrew's move.
You can't lean against the wall tonight. So
I thought of the word love.
Hmm.
Like, when we fight, envision my wife, I'm like, I love you. I don't want to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hurt you in my reaction. I love you. And I think the way we combat wrath towards anyone, individual, ourselves, is we love.
Correct.
And love is the betterment for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love does not have to have its own way.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we love.
Not proud.
I look at, how do we overcome wrath? We love.
And who does God tell us, who does Jesus tell us to love?
All people, love one another.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, love your enemy, mm-hmm. love your neighbor. There's nobody that we don't love.
We love everyone.
What about somebody that's really wrong and I really don't like?
Apparently love them more.
You love them more.
Because they're like in multiple camps at that point. I mean, yep. It's radical.
Mm-hmm.
It's radically different.
I think there's a camp of believers that are like, oh, you can't just say love. Like, you've got to have a systematic view of how to, like, combat this kind of stuff.
Or the world has ruined love, and so we can't talk about it.
But it hasn't.
Yeah, but some of them stand on street corners with signs and wear ties at 90 degrees.
Not even that. Like, the LGBT has ruined love in a lot of Christians' eyes.
Yeah.
Love is love.
Love is not ruined, because love is made perfect by God.
Right.
And so...
That's even, the ditch thing. Like, Christians go into ditches. It's like, what's easier, to do the hard work of dissecting what is true,
mm-hmm.
or just saying, okay, we can't use the word love anymore because it's been tainted by the world?
You have, like, that's the, but love is,
I know.
Love is the center.
It is the core.
It's the core.
The core of the gospel. It's the core of the law. It's the core of Christ. It's core.
You can't let.
But it's not very manly.
There you go. There's a deep cut. Yeah,
that's
100% what gets dealt
with. How can I be a good Christian man if I keep loving people?
If I can't be John Wayne and a Christian, I don't want that Christianity.
I met a guy one time that said he didn't want to sing worship songs with love in it because he was too manly.
Yeah.
And he was not joking.
Like, well, you have a false identity.
He's probably gay. I'm just going to, like, honestly, the guys that are trying that hard are usually fighting something inside. He probably struggles with same-sex attraction.
Tell
us how you really feel.
I knew him pretty well. Don't think he was gay. I would say.
Andrew stands by.
I'm not going to go into it.
We're not going to go into it.
No, I don't think so.
I really, really, really love this topic because I think Christian love needs to be talked more about. It's fallen on hard times, and it's important.
You don't let something that God created get destroyed by the world.
Go.
This would be a good topic because
it is because fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First thought, I was almost gonna be like, hey, before we do fruits of the spirit, should we do a love episode? Wait.
It'd probably be the first one.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, because we sometimes think of that in our culture as it being a doormat, you know, and it's the opposite. It takes courage, it takes strength. To do it appropriately. We could be a doormat, but I don't think scriptures are calling us to be a doormat.
No.
I mean, we think of King David. Do you think of him as a doormat?
I think of him as a stone cold killer.
But God says, God calls him a man after my own heart. Mm-hmm. How can God call him a man after my own heart?
Creamery.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah, but again, we have to define terms, right? We can't say, okay.
He's a warrior.
Yeah.
And I think if we're going to truly love, we have to be warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I cut everybody's head off either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not everybody's Goliath.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, so listeners, we are very much saying don't cut heads off. Just to be clear.
The official outsider stance.
Yes.
On head cutting is don't.
Yeah.
Non-violence.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
Nope.
Mostly.
Nope. Self-defense. Nope. Self-defense, non-violence.
Yeah. Wait, that would be wrath, wouldn't it?
Oh, hang on. I think, you know, isn't it interesting when we talk about these, some things bubble up more than others.
Yeah.
And we said, like, pride seems to permeate everything, but it's hard to see. For this one, it seems like it's very clear to see what the antithetical proper response to wrath is, and it is love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very clear, like, very clear to see, okay, that is the answer. Like, to fight wrath, it is to love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to love sacrificially, it's to love humbly. And it really is. I mean, I think love is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. Everything can fall under the umbrella of love. Some people even say that when you look at the fruits of the Spirit, the main fruit of the Spirit is love. It's why it's first. And then all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit buttress or like hold it up. Like if love is the main thing, and you can get that from like Romans 5 or 2 Peter 1, where you've got these lists of attributes that lead to what is the top one? It's love.
What's the one where it's if I can have the faith to move a mountain, but if I don't have love, mm-hmm. I'm nothing. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I guess if you're gonna make me read it,
yeah. Don't make me read.
How dare you. But like 2 Peter would say, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So it's like it's building to love. It's the same thing in Romans 5.
If this is not happening,
for if these qualities are yours, and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted he is blind, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his former sin.
Literally questions your belief system, your faith.
Therefore, like
you may not even be saved.
Therefore, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall.
Right.
So we need to be building towards love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have it, so then the rest of the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, those all come out of or lead to love.
Mm-hmm. But John Wesley, just to emphasize what we talked about with love, John Wesley would say, for he is pure in heart, love has purified his heart from envy and malice and wrath and every unkind temper. And so the Holy Spirit transforms our anger into a righteous passion for, say, justice, or leading us to forgiveness rather than retaliation. And so here's a call to action to our listeners. So identify where wrath has taken root in your heart. Confess it to God and ask the Holy Spirit to replace it with patience and peace and love. And then seek reconciliation with the people that maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to do that with your spouse. Maybe you need to be reconciled back to your spouse and say, you know what, I was not acting the way that Jesus would ask me to be.
Would you throw humility in with love,
mm-hmm.
as part of this? Like,
yeah.
One of the other ways to fight wrath is humility.
Absolutely.
And with seeking reconciliation, don't go in expecting that
anything in return, because just because you forgive and you're apologizing doesn't mean the other person's going to.
Yeah. Very astute observation.
You have to
be okay with it when it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely requires humility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people might not forgive you.
Right.
You know.
Or it'll take time.
Or yeah.
Truth hurts, and the truth takes a long time to be accepted by all of us.
Yeah.
So
we're all sinful, fallen humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
For sure. I can't believe it went from wrath to love. It's like the next series is on my mind.
Yeah. Well, I love talking about love.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is a phenomenal topic.
Especially the actual truth of it,
mm-hmm.
and skewing away all of the crap that people have put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so powerful that the world, the devil, and the flesh try to co-opt it in any way possible. Man, I love these French fries.
Yeah.
Man, I love pizza. That TV. Oh, I do, though. But hang on there. Don't be bringing pizza to this.
I particularly like Hawaiian pizza.
Shut up. Gross.
I said like. I didn't say love.
Still shut up.
But we co-opt it, right? We and the world co-opts, and they say, you know, love is this or it's that. Mm. And, you know, we need to constantly be thinking about what is biblical love.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you be a warrior king and write beautiful music and kill a guy and still be a man after God's own heart?
And not kill the guy that's trying to kill you.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff, right?
Yeah. Man.
We're all describing Brett's weekend. It's crazy. The story he got. Yeah.
Just yesterday, yeah. Actually. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Yeah. There it is.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Let's.
We are. This is the second to last part of the Seven Deadly Sins. Next week,
just for everyone, that's
we are on, yep.
On video. Brandon held up three fingers.
I just okay.
I think he was channeling Donald Trump. He wasn't doing
the
okay.
Two down. He's knocking.
Okay. Oh,
okay. But now
we're talking about China.
China. But we're gonna be hitting sloth in the next episode.
All right.
Yep.
Be the we'll be the very last one.
Be gentle. They're endangered.
And yes. Andrew, how are you feeling about that?
I'm ready. I'm ready to not be prepared.
Well, you're overly prepared.
I am.
The way I was with pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hit our tags?
So, yeah, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, still not X, because we are still excommunicated.
Oh,
that was
ew.
So good.
I'm glad you made that
disgusting
joke. I'm sorry.
I actually took it out of the last episode because I haven't figured out the audio side of, don't even remember what it's called.
Rumble.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be on Rumble maybe,
mm-hmm.
if I can figure it out, because it's a little more complicated than Brendan let on. You liar.
My bad.
Yeah. and maybe I'm going to put it on YouTube. I've gone back and forth on it. Just putting audio on there. We'll see. We can talk about it. We'll see. And then, yeah, any major platform, Spotify,
Apple.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. My brain is
Stitcher.
iHeart Media.
Bryce is a full on Apple nerd.
I am
all
too.
His stuff.
I am. I have.
And he forgot Apple.
I've
podcasts.
Sold my soul to the ecosystem.
No, that's not true.
Their ecosystem?
No, that you sold your soul. You love the Lord.
You sold your preferences to.
Yes.
I sold my
preferences. And your personal data.
That Google owned that a long time ago.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's all the things. Oh no, Elect Exiles, check them out. They're great.
Moderate sabbatical. We'll be back hopefully by the time this comes out.
Well, that's fine. There's still plenty of episodes. If they've never listened,
then
go back.
Catch up on the back catalog.
Go start at numero uno and then move on. I know a lot of you did that with our episodes, so
yeah.
Go ahead and do that with Elect Exiles.
Once you finally got here, welcome.
Brandon's got his Substack. Just released a fire. I mean, yesterday for us, 2 weeks ago for you guys. So he's releasing some pretty good ones right now. So go ahead and give those a read.
Shot in the Dark.
A Shot in the Dark. Is that what it's called?
Well, that's a John Mayer song. But
okay. Yes, it is.
You're welcome.
All right. Anyway, that's all the things.
Yeah.
All right. I really am going to try and script that because that was painful.
That's probably good.
It was for us too.
If you give us too many like openings we're going to jump in.
That's okay.
So if you just keep reading.
too many gaps.
For me, I can go back and edit that and make it way better. So
you could do it.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
No, I know I can. It's fine.
Yep. Sweet. All right. That's it.
There we go.
We're about done. The band's about to break up. Okay. Just joking.
You haven't stopped by now. Thank you.
It's your own fault.
They must.
If
really
you just
want
to hear us meander until the outro music comes on, go right ahead.
You got 45 seconds till Samuel L. Jackson shows up to invite one of us to the Avengers. That's how close we're getting.
I'll pass. I want the Justice League.
Ooh.
I'll be around Batman. I know. Well, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for listening.
We love you. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.